Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we are ready.
And we are ready. We are back. We are here in our brand new episode of The Bald and the Beautiful.
That's right, Trixie. I couldn't agree with you more.
And today we have somebody who is both bald and beautiful.
Yeah, she's a living legend and a Renaissance person.
Mm-hmm.
And the inventor of most things that you're probably familiar with at home.
Computers, internet, the wheel.
Yeah. Most cutlery, many languages.
Honestly, one of the most respected drag queens on the planet who all of us aspire to be like. It's Jackie Beat.
Jackie Beat.
Hi, you guys. It's me coming to you live through modern technology.
Yeah. I have to say,
we don't even have to get near each other. I love it.
You're not used to the remoteness of it. I see you on the Instagrams all the time. I did your show.
I did your show too. I had a blast.
Yeah. I'm not very a tech savvy, as they say.
I thought you were going to say I'm not very sexy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm terribly sexy.
Terribly sexy. I'm horribly turned on.
My look is fuckable clown. That's what I call it.
Yeah.
My look is unfuckable clown.
No, she's playing hard to get. You were playing hard to get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where should we start? Your illustrious drag career?
I want to start with the facelift.
Oh, let me just say,
yeah, you guys start where you want to start. Do your fucking job. Yeah. I can't do both sides of this. I have to ask one question. Yeah. Where are you physically right now?
We're in my house. Hello. This is my living room.
Okay, what is that artwork behind
Jackie,
you?
Jackie, don't get into it with me.
She said the first thing she's going to do is make fun of this painting.
I said the first thing she's going to do is make fun of me.
Oh, I didn't realize it was you.
Oh, do you remember when we went out to dinner and my background on my phone was myself and you were like, are you kidding me right now? And then I took out my retainer and put it on the table and you were like, where are you from?
Oh, wait a minute. Where was that? It was some weird place.
We were in Australia. I remember it like it was yesterday because Sherry was telling us tales from the road, as it were, on Craigslist.
Yeah, it was weird. And Bob the drag queen was there.
Yes, Bob the drag queen was there. We were on
what
like
was this gig?
It was like a comedy queens tour.
In Australia?
Yes.
Cool. Wait a minute. I was in Australia with you, Katya, also at
you were
one
not.
Point.
I don't believe that
oh,
to be true.
That's what I meant.
Yes, you were, weren't
no,
you?
No, no. We had many good times in many good places, but Australia is not
Amsterdam.
One of them. Yeah,
they
Amsterdam.
They both start with an A and you were fucked up. Yeah. Anyway.
I was not fucked up, but it was fun.
I'm
that was
kidding.
A fun
oh
night.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. It's like you don't even know my sense of humor.
It started with an AA.
Oh, honey. Oh, and hello. Ended with a No, I don't know. Okay, so that picture is very nice. Listen, nobody should put up with a drag queen who doesn't have pictures of herself all over the place. I'm just not a big fan of pastels. So when I didn't see, all I saw was the bottom half and I didn't like it. And now that I see your face, I like it even less. Anyway.
If you didn't like pastels, this house would be your nightmare. It's all pink pastel.
It's aggressive.
It's aggressive. Yeah,
it's aggressive.
It's the mask for mask sex.
Well, I would like to tell you that I had a giant bedroom in a giant loft in New York. Like two blocks from Ground Zero, right at the South Street Seaport, back in the 90s. And my bedroom was purple glitter. The walls were purple glitter. I was really into like Powerpuff Girls and like, it was just very 90s. Yeah, and now, if you see my house, it's very cubist and brutalist.
Yeah,
and
rustic reptilian.
It's kind of butch and it's sort of like Acapulco 1968 meets Planet of the Apes and like sort of futuristic, but retro futuristic. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, is this is your old place. If people can Google the pictures of your old place, which was like breathtaking. Is this the place where you do the kitchen lives at now?
Yes, yes. Well, the old place I described as anti-mame on acid. Mm-hmm. And every room had a color scheme and it was really like sort of 60s and 70s. This house is more, it's a darker, it's sort of like the future, but it's disintegrating. I don't know how to explain it.
Are we talking about the house still?
Oh my God, no, my hips, even though they're relatively new.
I have to say, if we can move away from my interior decor to your exterior decor.
Yeah.
They really snatched, you look great.
They carved you up like a pig, didn't they?
Thank you. I had my neck done.
Okay, so what is the procedure? What is the actual, like, you know, a rhinoplasty is a nose job. What was this called?
It's called giving her a neck.
No, really. Do you know
this was the technical term for it is fix an old bitch's neck. Oh. No.
It's an above the shoulder vaginal rejuvenation.
Now, here's what it is. I look like a sock puppet with the hand pulled out of it. I am not only 57, but I have gained and lost 100 pounds six times in my life. So you fill it up, you empty it out. You fill it up, you empty it out. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So it was a mess. And it was the one thing that always drove me crazy. And I always put my finger. But listen,
that explains why in all the pictures you were always one finger.
Yeah. You're like, oh, don't look. Let me put my hand exactly where I don't want you to look. But it's so snatched, but the thing is that's freaking me out a little bit is, first of all, like, you get rid of all the extra, but now there's, like, you know, like,
I can't really see. You're
a
so
few
dark.
Little lines.
Okay.
But it looks great in, because you're pulling it, and there are
look
cords
great in
your neck. In drag and lit with tons of makeup, beep, bop, boop, doodly doo, I'm so thrilled. But chunks of my face are still fucking numb, you guys.
What? No.
Yeah,
no.
Like.
That's not.
It's a great time to get into choking, Jackie.
Oh, that's wait a minute. True. I love. Why? If you can't feel it, why do it? So I'm not going to say any mean things about Sherry Vine. She's not even here to like burst into tears. No, here's the thing. I love the way Katya was just about to say, like, that's not normal, but I guess it really is. It takes a while for it to all come back. And then I've sort of resigned myself that, honey, if it doesn't come back, like, I don't need my feeling right here and right here. It's, who gives a shit? I look good.
You don't see it? You don't feel it?
Yeah. All those people poking you in the jowls is like, whatever.
My scariest thing was the first time I entertained a gentleman caller. I was a little nervous. When you first have it done, it's much more brutal than people think.
Wait, so
because you think it's just skin being pulled.
Oh no.
It's the muscle. Like there's a wall of numb muscle under here. Like behind my ears looks like Frankenstein. So like I said, my biggest fear was the first time, I'll just say it, I sucked a fucking huge dick. So
you've sung about it. You might as well speak on it.
Yeah. I know, but I used to sing about it and not ever really do it.
Live it. Yeah. The lived reality is a little bit.
I'll never forget the Baby Got Front video. The number of looks in that video. Oh, wow. You ever seen that video?
I don't know. I don't think so.
There's it's so funny because it was one of the first things I ever did with Austin Young, and we were in my apartment where Nadia Ginsburg lives now, my heliotrope apartment. Cool. And I just thought, let's literally do like, what was it? Like 13 or 14 different looks, like grandma.
Yeah.
You know, like sort of Bollywood.
There's and a rich like lady. There's like a
Manson girl.
Yeah.
How long did it take?
I said, let's literally just do a look. I'll sing the song once, change, and just do it. And then you can have fun just editing. And it was just look after look after look. But the same makeup.
It's very effective. I mean, that's the thing about drag, though. If you're the thing, it's not like you have to build a set.
Yeah. You want to make more money?
I invented that.
You invented doing nothing.
I love that song with you in Alaska. That's like a, it's a, what did you invent? You everything in drag. Why is that? Why is that your thing? Because you started doing drag when? Like in?
I started doing drag relatively late, if you really think about it. Like as far as, you know, some people start like when they're, you know, 19. I started in 1989.
In your 40s.
Yes, exactly. Why can't you be this funny when the cameras are rolling? I saw your little documentary.
The way I look in drag, it puts me in such an awful mood. Nothing's funny.
Oh my God. Can I just say, Sherry was talking about that the other day on like some Instagram live she was doing. She's like, I still love drag and I love drag and it's fun. And I'm like, honey, if it's fun, you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
I aspire.
That's literally how I feel.
Yeah.
I aspire to show up like you to gigs. Like,
yeah.
When we were on tour, we would pull up to like a beautiful hotel and she would look at it and go like, is that it?
The sigh has a texture to it.
I am a naturally grateful, gracious person.
It's such a refined level of gratitude, though. Can't really pick up on it.
Nobody can pick up on it.
No, what was I going to say? Oh, my God. My brain.
Oh, we asked you when you started doing drag.
Yeah. What age were you? You said late start. I believe I had the same late start.
Well, I started in 1989.
Which makes you, were you how old?
I was born in 1963.
Interesting. So 24, something like that?
Is that right?
26? I started when I was 25, so that's interesting.
Yeah. Did you ever have to ask, like, I'm 31 and I can't believe sometimes I still do drag?
Yeah.
When was your point of like, when you first started, were you like, surprised how long you've been able to do it? I mean, come on.
Well, it's a totally different world than it was. There was literally, first of all, I didn't even know these people. Like I was going to say there was, you know, eight people. No, I'm saying there was Bunny, Sherry Vine, Joey Arias, Varla Jean Merman, Coco Peru. And when I started, it was before I even really knew that world. So I didn't start it like with any idea of a career. Nobody thought you could make money at it. Are you fucking crazy?
Couldn't really.
You couldn't.
Unless you were one of those ladies.
I say this all the time. There were gay bars that wouldn't let drag queens in. There were people, you know, like running gay pride that were like, no drag queens this year. We're just, you know, that's all the news ever shows. It's embarrassing. We are fighting for our rights. We need to take this seriously. You know, so, so when I started, a bunch of us just did drag for Halloween one year. And I just noticed that I did it, you know, with a level of attention to detail that they didn't have. And I took it very fucking seriously. And I did sort of a, almost like a Joanne Worley meets Phyllis. I don't know if you've ever seen Phyllis from the Mary Tyler Moore show. It's,
I bet she has. I'm too young.
Yeah. So it's this really wild sort of 60s look that I did the first year. And then I think like a couple years after that, I did Shelley Winters in the Poseidon Adventure, which is really fun because you just find a dress and you like kind of burn it up one side and rip it and then like get it wet. And you have like a Happy New Year hat off to one side and your makeup is dripping and you have one shoe because it's the Poseidon Adventure. You guys are making faces like you don't know the fucking Poseidon Adventure.
I don't.
I do.
It's unacceptable.
I do.
Was that the Tu Huang Fu before Tu Huang Fu?
No.
No, it's not drag, Greek, but I just did a podcast called Movies That Made Us Gay, and mine was the Poseidon Adventure. There's a scene where Pamela Sue Martin, it's about a ship a giant luxury liner.
You don't have to yell.
I think I do.
Yeah.
What?
That turns upside down at the stroke of midnight.
Before the Titanic?
So people are like flying all over the place, and then they have to climb through the ship up to the bottom of the ship to get out. And the fucking 70s hairstyles and fashions. And there's one scene that I'm convinced is like, okay, Pamela Sue Martin is wearing a red velvet maxi dress with sort of a, you know, like men's tuxedo adjacent top. Like everyone looks amazing. And after the ship turns over, he's like, you can't climb in that skirt. And she rips the skirt off and she has matching red velvet hot pants underneath.
A reveal. A life or death reveal.
Right. Right. And then later in the movie, Stella Stevens does the ultimate shablam. Like, you've got to see this movie.
Oh, my God.
So I have learned that my favorite movies are where everyone gets all dressed up in their best 70s fashions and hairstyles to have the time of their life, and then their big beaming smiles turn to looks of horror in slow motion when they realize that all hell is breaking loose. So like the Poseidon Carrie. Adventure and Carrie.
Carrie. Yeah. I had the pleasure of reading Carrie last year. It was a nice short little, obviously you've read it.
It's not a great book.
Thank you.
Even
Thank
he you. Admits
exactly
it.
I said.
I liked it. I thought like, horrible. It's definitely different from the movie. I did like that it's told like entirely in like an interview with a neighbor, a news clipping.
Wasn't it his first book?
Yeah.
It is funny in the book, Carrie's like horribly disgusting.
Yeah.
And then in the film,
all,
you have a supermodel.
She's overweight.
Beautiful.
I don't know if the audience knows about your legendary relationship with the movie Carrie. You want to speak on that?
Sure. Well,
you were originally
Carrie,
cast as Carrie, yeah. right? And you said, I don't really want to do this. So you didn't do it, right? Is that how it went?
No. Carrie is from 1976. So I saw it when I was 13 years old in the theater, and it fucking changed my life.
Wow.
I will never forget. First of all, the opening is a bunch of girls, you know, full frontal, like 70s Bush.
Bush, right, yeah.
In the shower room, and, you know, she gets her period. It's just unbelievable, the movie. It's hideous and gorgeous and campy and sad. So that kind of, like, you know, infused me with all of that for my drag. But I remember watching the prom scene, and you know, they teach it in film class. It's amazing. Just the saturated colors, and it's sort of like the shower scene in Psycho. It's just very perfectly timed and thought out, and just obsessed with that movie. And I think one of the reasons is because the theme or the moral of the story is don't mess with the freak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like the underdog's revenge fantasy.
Totally.
What other films are there like that are kind of comparable to that revenge?
I don't even know if it's revenge because she is so out of control. You know, a lot of people are like, how come she killed the gym teacher? She was nice to her. And I'm like, honey, the scene where she sees everyone laughing at her, there's a reason he used like a prism. It's almost like a kaleidoscope because that's in her head. Her mother planted it in her head that everyone was going to laugh at her. So she thinks everyone is laughing when just a few people are laughing and she's completely out of control. Her telekinetic powers, you know, coincide with her period. Okay. So you become a woman and then, you know, so anyway, so she's just killing people left and right, willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly.
I like how focused they are in the book and the film about, like, the guys can smell your blood. About, like, your period.
Who can smell?
I think in the book they drove it home more, but it's very, like, you have your blood. The boys can smell it.
It is true. I mean, you know, you can't.
You can't, really?
Well, I mean, they're pheromones. I mean, you know, like, it's like a, you know, it's anything like, you know, your fucking crotch and your pits and your...
It's like Nibs in Silence of the Lambs.
It's disgusting,
I can
but
smell your cut.
Yeah.
Now, do you?
But anyway, I just love it. I love the movie so much.
Yeah. I think. I mean, did you take the time to see the remake? Did you live or did you not live? I'm only asking because I want to hear how much you.
I barely fucking lived. I barely
what is
survived
the point
it.
Of
it was
doing
so.
That?
What are you... You know what it is to make $5 more. Yeah. I don't know. It's horrible. First of all, she's literally reaching out and doing this pantomime thing, like when like her hand is picking it up, really? Like a phantom. It's horrible. I hate it so much. I can't even put it into words.
You know, I did like one part of it. I did like Julianne Moore stabbing herself in the leg with that sewing thing.
Yeah, I mean, there were little moments like that. But I mean, listen, I get it. I know that the translation, if there were subtitles right now, it would just say, I'm old, I'm old, I'm old, I'm old. But it's like, I love this movie. So yeah. I don't want, you know, to me, the original is fairly perfect. There are a few things that I don't love about it.
Like
but
what?
Did you say like what?
Yeah, drag her.
All I saw was this. Ready?
Drag her.
Well, he does like he speeds up the film when they're shopping for tuxedos. And it's just weird and it doesn't really work. But he said Brian De Palma is who we're talking about. Brian De Palma said that he used the split screen way too much. But I disagree. I love it so much.
Yeah, it's really
exciting. It's very effective. Yeah. Did you see In Fabric, Jackie?
No.
Oh my God, you've got to see In Fabric. You hated it, right?
I did hate it, yeah. But it really could have been made by.
You've got to see it. You've got to see it. It's about a killer dress.
A dress that is like cursed that when people wear it, like they get killed. And it's shot like Carrie.
It's so bizarre. They have this department store that's all like run by witches. And they have these giant, huge, like, bouffant wigs, and they dress in these, like, funeral clothes from the 1700s.
Wait a minute. It's a department store run by witches?
Yeah.
Yes.
So Neiman Marcus?
Yeah. No, it is. It's very Neiman Marcus, because they give you that kind of personalized salesmanship.
That personal service.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they have this, they use this language, like, you know, everything sounds like an ornate kind of poem. It's like, the recesses of your purchase will ring out into the retail sphere for eons. It's like so bizarre. And she's like, okay, thank you. You have to see
it. You gotta watch it.
Oh, so I want to see it.
You
now.
Would love it.
I feel like you would love, love, love it. If you didn't like it, I'd be shocked.
Well, you never know. Yeah. You know.
And as we know, Jackie, your taste is very, you're easy to please.
Yeah, you like anything.
You know what? Can I just say the older I get, the more I can appreciate. First of all, when I watch something, I can't help but think, how many people worked so hard on this?
Yeah.
So Herbie they get credit just for that. Sometimes that's the thing that bothers me. Like, how many people worked so hard on this and they still fucked it up, or it's the worst story and I can't believe anybody made this movie. But yeah, I mean, I've been watching, like just the other day I watched The Black Godfather, which is a great documentary about this guy that I'd never even heard of. And he's worked with everyone. Like, he produced, like, it was all about Soul Train, which was so amazing. Anyway, so that's a great movie. I just watched Soul, which is the Disney.
Did you love it?
I loved it so much.
Did you cry?
You guys, I cried 7 minutes in when
oh my
he's
God,
at
wow.
the piano and everything goes blue and he's in his own little world playing the piano. I started bawling. It looked so gorgeous.
Is that how you feel about cross-dressing?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I do have these moments where I'm so overblown by, it gives me faith in humanity. Like, I remember, this is such a specific memory, and it's not even like, I remember in, oh my God, what is the Corpse Bride? In Corpse Bride, which, like, I don't think I've ever seen it since I saw it, you know, when it came out in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a scene where all those skeletons are, like, dancing. And they're like, lit from one side with these, like, red and then blue and then green. I just was like, I loved that so much. And it made me emotional. Anyway, I love things like that that just hit me like a ton of bricks.
I cried at the Very Brady Christmas last week. The TV, made-for-TV movie about them all trying to get home for Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, if it gets me, it gets me. I do love the Brady Bunch, Jackie, right?
I love the Brady Bunch. Is that the one that has the line, don't be sorry, just be Wally?
No.
Okay.
This is the one where they're all trying to get home for Christmas. And I don't know if you remember in the first season of the Brady Bunch, Carol Brady sings at church, and you know that actress, her voice, Florence's voice, is like
really
perfect, like godlike.
That episode is called A Christmas Carol because her name was Carol Brady.
Exactly. God, I see what.
And she gets laryngitis, or as Cindy Brady calls it, Larry-gitis.
Larry-gitis.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
And she tells the department store Santa Claus, all I want is for my mommy to get her voice back. And
magic
and then
happens.
Does it really happen? Oh,
well, of course.
I think she sings "O Come All Ye Faithful," and then in the made-for-TV movie, you know, all these years later, Mike Brady's in a collapsed building because he's an architect on this set, and these people are like, "No, we want to do it cheap," and he's like, "It's not safe," and they're like, "You're fired. We're doing this cheap." So then it collapses while he's in it, and then he can't figure out how to get out of the rubble, and she starts singing "O Come All Ye Faithful," and the whole audience joins in, and he gets out of the rubble because he could hear her voice singing. Girl, I was crying so hard.
I know. And then you add the layer that they were best friends in real life and he was a closeted gay man and he couldn't climb out of that rubble. It's it really breaks my heart when you see all these gay people on TV that America invited into their homes, you know, like Uncle Arthur on Bewitched. And just as long as you didn't say that word, you were allowed to like love them and laugh at them and laugh with them. And it's just kind of depressing, but I'm glad the world has changed. No, I'm glad that now they can actually say the word.
It's like when the Pete Buttigieg of the world happened. He might not be your favorite candidate, but everyone's like, it's a gay candidate. Yeah. Great. But he would have had to be a Christian, dickless, loveless, nudeless, basically pet bunny to be considered seriously at all. Because if you're gay on TV, you just have to like wear a bow on your head, but we don't want to hear about the fact that you actually kiss men.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
You're either a desexualized comedy.
I can't remember when it was, but a while back, somebody, I can't remember if it was a reaction to something, but I tweeted, never forget that underneath this drag clown that you love so much is a gay man who loves cock.
A girl.
Like I just felt the need to say it.
If I say something like really overtly, you know, I want to fuck him, whatever, sometimes the comments will be like, ooh, God, that's a lot. I'm like, well, what do you think I got into this for?
Although, to be fair, your thirst tweets are usually like, please run over my body with a Mack
truck. I'm like,
truck
fucking and then choke me out and dick me down until my eyes pop out of my skull. Yes. And people are like, oh my God, are you gay?
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Maybe I need to lead with more like, you know.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
I know that you guys are running the interview, but could I ask a question?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's each of your favorite things about me?
I mean, where do I begin? I mean, I feel weird because I don't know if you take compliments well, but you are one of my favorite drag queens. I just love you.
I take compliments great.
You pack my shit up. I've seen you so many times. Every time I've been in LA and you have a show, I've always come. And I love your hair and your makeup, and I just love everything.
Oh, you're so funny. Honey.
You are so fucking mean to the people in the audience.
So mean.
In a way that I am so like, I just love it. And the people, you have a way of like, it's like a verbal contract that like, I'm going to be so mean to you, even though you paid to be in the front and watch me, and you're going to love it.
Yeah.
But don't you agree that, like, first of all, I make fun of myself first?
Of course. Very clear, and you have best.
I see queens trying to do what I do, and they don't understand that you need to make fun of yourself first. You have to do it with, I mean, the way you're describing it is like I'm just mean, but there is some affection and intelligence.
There's a lot of finesse to it. It's like a compliment to be, everybody wants to be talked to you at the show. Everyone wants to be made fun of.
I don't.
Well, I've done some shows recently where after the show, people are like, what's wrong? You were too nice. You weren't mean. Like when that woman said that thing, I thought you were going to fucking come for her. And it's just like, you know, I try to make the most of moments like that, but I don't want to actually, you know.
I know that you probably love being a performer, but I love that you enter the shows with the energy of like, let's do it. Well, hit the music, I guess.
Listen, I have to say, with Drag Race, and there are queens who are turning it out on a level that I will literally never understand. I mean, first of all, back in the day, I'm more cabaret than theater. So I've got my music stand. I'm like, why am I going to learn these songs? I'm going to do them for 3 nights this year for my holiday show, and then probably never again. And I'm also old. So it's like memorizing shit is like really hard. And I just think there's something about just walking out with an attitude like I'm going to rise above this tiny little shithole space. And it's all about the connection and what I'm doing. But I'm not going to jump through fucking hoops of fire. And my wig is not a lace front. And do you know what I mean? Yeah, and like, yes, I'm wearing a glorified tablecloth with a fucking, you know, rope around it. I don't know. It seems to work, but there are times where I look at what queens are doing. I mean, you know, you look at the Jinx and Ben de la Creme holiday special, and I'm like, fuck.
Oh, that like, made me want to be like, drag is done.
The production
drag is
was
done
insane.
Now.
Insane.
Who can compete with that?
Nobody.
But then I think, listen,
thank God this though.
Well, it's great, but it because my show didn't cost literally $10, it's still, you could still watch it and it's entertaining. It's a different, you just have to stop, you know, like comparing yourself to other people.
Also never been bored at a Jackie Beach show. Not 1 minute.
She's never even gone.
Aww. Yeah.
I mean, I have
and with the Jinx and the Ben thing, you have to remember many people find them grating. I'm just kidding.
Myself included.
It was like an I was watching it and I was cheering for them until it got so good that I kept leaving the room and being like, are you serious? Yeah. Are you serious? It was just so amazing.
That's funny.
And I mean, to tell you, like, you want to talk about talent when it's just Varla Jean Merman's voice and she's playing like a fucking pina colada or whatever. And she's so fucking funny. We just did Sherry Vine did a new variety show, I think, for Out TV. I hope I'm right.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. And Varla flew out on her own dime just to be in it. And I'm not kidding you. We could barely get through. I wrote a sketch for all of us. And it is so fucking funny where she assumes she's playing the sexy young daughter. It's so funny. And then she's like, wait a minute, am I playing the mom? And we're like, don't be ridiculous. You're playing the grandma. And then Mario's reading. It's like, and then Mario reads the description and the grandmother is like a hideous woman with no teeth rolls in her wheelchair. It is so, but we could not get through it because she is so fucking funny.
Yeah, she is. Whenever in P-Town, like whenever I get the opportunity, it's like if I have a night off and she has some tickets available, I'm like, I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
Because it's really like a joke every second.
Yeah. Varla came to Boston years like before Drag Race, where I was on Drag Race, and she was so great. So did Sherry and Joey Arias. They did a show together, which was so weird, by the way. Just the two of them. And then I finally saw Dina Martina.
Did it change your life?
Yeah. She's incredible.
Dina is
her
just
holiday special.
Everything I wish I could be, which is, I mean, you
unforgettable.
Know, like,
unforgettable.
I mean, you can kind of tell people who've done acid, and I'm not even saying Dina's done acid. My comedy is very mathematical, and it kind of makes sense. And you know, there's a setup, and the you know, then a delivery. But God, those people who are just from another planet, I really do love.
Yeah, that's, I mean, did you see Tammy's Christmas special?
I did not see the Christmas special, but she, I've worked with her a lot, and she's one of my very favorite, like, I mean, just talk about, like, not feeling pressure. I mean, listen.
The best thing about her is she feels no pressure to do a good job.
No, I just mean to, like, be normal or, like, oh, this is how you're supposed to do it. I mean, I'll never forget, was Tammy on the very first? Season.
Yeah.
I think at one point she literally like said, this is bullshit.
Yeah. She's like,
oh yeah.
And then read Michelle for her, like, her makeup and then left or something like that.
She tried to, read her and she said, if I wanted to read, I could read somebody for a makeup line on their neck. She literally said that to her on television.
Yeah.
It's fierce.
It is
when
fierce.
She's like my go-to whenever I need, so I'm going somewhere and they say, do you want to bring an opener? She's like the first call I make because she's so professional and so wackadoo. And just a good energy backstage. She's like thrilled to be
And she's
drag.
So like you said, it's not that she doesn't, she's just on a different frequency.
Yeah.
Different frequency.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, you have to have faith. I mean, I think of things like anything new and different, which is so like words I don't think of when I think of drag now. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. It's just so like, oh my God. And like, I don't know if you guys watched, you know, the first episode of the new season, but it's just so like, step over those dead bodies for fucking ratings. I think my point is like, it you know, like Roseanne was such a huge thing and nobody had ever, it's always somebody who like everyone passed, you know, like who thought some big loudmouth fat, you know, relatively unattractive. I don't mean, you know, I'm just saying by Hollywood standards.
Now we're
and
talking
everyone,
about her.
It becomes a huge hit because everyone's, you know, starving for something different and something real. And then everyone's trying to do their Roseanne. Yeah. So there's a million stories like that and you just have to be yourself.
Yeah. What I like about Tammy is it's very, I mean, I love the Tammys of the world because it's like, they're not really interested in whether or not what they're doing is quote unquote like marketable.
Right. Yeah.
But they want the 9 people who worship them to have like the night of their lives.
Yeah. And they usually do.
And they 100% do. And I've
I wonder if they even think of those 9 people. Like, I just think that they literally, I don't know what they think because I don't think they think.
I'm not saying 9 people watch her. I'm saying like, she's not like, I've been at shows where she goes out there and let's be honest, they maybe don't all know her.
Yeah.
And by the end of the set, they are like chanting her name because the conviction is there. Like she, she delivers
and
it like it is.
Also, is something to be said for like, is she serious? Like, is this a character? Like, does she know? It's the real deal. Yeah. And that's why people love it. And she's very lovable. And wow. I can't believe we've been talking about Tammy for 20 minutes and this is my
fucking another thing
interview.
About Tammy I wanted to mention.
Back to Queens with 9 fans. Jackie, can I ask, how did you invent this makeup?
Well, I mean, first of all, I've always been like sort of an artist, but not, you know, I mean, I can draw and like when I write something, people like, you know, Sherry's always like, oh my God, your handwriting is so good. And I'm like, it's because I'm drawing the letters. I'm not writing them.
Oh my God. That's a lovely way to put it. Do you do calligraphy ever?
Do you have a part-time gig as a wedding calligraphy artist?
Yeah. Are you a notary public?
That's how I bought this house.
No. Do you enjoy you enjoy penmanship handwriting?
Calligraphy to be you and me. Yes, I do love handwriting and I love like I noticed that when I do sign autographs, my writing is very much like I don't know if you've ever seen Frank Oz sign things as Miss Piggy.
No.
Miss Piggy's writing is so like curly Q's. It's so amazing. Anyway, so I really love that, but I don't know what I'm saying. What were we talking about? My makeup.
Miss Piggy. We were talking about you.
No, Miss Piggy and my makeup.
Yeah.
No, my makeup was really bad in the beginning. Like, first of all, I did my eyebrows with a Sharpie real. Wow. And then when you take your makeup off, it's still there. And I would take like a sponge, you know, the scrubby sponge and try to, and then it would be all raw and bleeding.
Ginger used to do that.
Yeah, still does. Still does.
Horrible. Yeah. Horrible. But then you just slowly learn. Yeah. Like you watch other people, and this was before the internet. So you would just be backstage at Squeeze Box, you know, and notice that somebody, the way they overdraw their lip, and you just kind of learn what works for your face and what doesn't. And I'm not
sometimes
sure
we never
really
learned.
Came up.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. But that iconic sort of makeup that for a while there, everyone was kind of doing. Mm. And there's no nice way to say that, but let's be honest. Can we at least be honest?
Please. It's pretty amazing. I mean, because had anybody done those really graphic, drawn on like lashes and all that until you did it? Besides,
I think, well, first of all, I really think that I was very inspired by Patrick Nagel.
Okay.
Like, I used to think, like, this may look really paint by numbers and very, like, not terribly blended. But when a fucking camera hits it and the flash goes off, it looks like a Nagel.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, like, or, you know, so, and, you know, I always shave my eyebrows off because I just can't. I'll never understand spending the time to cover them because you can never really do it fully.
No.
And then the time it takes to take them off, it's like, I'm too lazy. Just shave your fucking brows and walk around like a chemotherapy patient.
Yeah, I mean,
that was a great segue into my next question. How do you negotiate the surrender of your masculinity to drag and like during the daytime?
Well, okay, first of all, I only get laid in drag.
Okay.
First of all, I have to tell you, there's a certain point as a gay man where you are a certain age, you're femme, you are a certain size. Like I had just completely given up.
Tell me my future, Jackie. Tell me my future.
There are things about myself physically that like no amount of dieting is going to change. Like I'm never going to gain weight in my dick. You know what I mean? And I just am such a size queen that I just assume that everyone else is, and it's just not true. They aren't, you know, but I'm also not like this, you know, voracious, you know, power bottom. So I was just neither here nor there. And I was not in the gay world. I was just like dead. I may as well have been dead. So
actually dead people might have got a little more action.
They didn't think you were dead. It's because of the brows. They thought you were dying.
At least there's a fetish for that.
Yeah.
But my point is then Sherry kind of like shook me up a little bit. And now I realize, like, honey, I'm a fucking unicorn. And, like, I am some people's, like, I mean, ultimate fan.
Ultimate and wet dream.
And I'm not even just talking about, like, the fucking, because I always ask them, I'm like, do you want, like, natural blended makeup or do you want rock and roll whore? They always want rock and roll whore. The more makeup, the better. And then guys will start, like, I've had guys that, I mean, it makes me emotional, and I'm not even joking. For someone who is 57 years old and have hated certain things about myself, and then the guy says, like, I love your fat ass. Bring that fat ass over here. Or they're like, oh, I mean, I'm just going to say it, like, take out your dick. And I'm just like, oh, it's nothing compared to yours. Oh, I don't care. Like, that turns me on. Like
Alexa,
really,
play Nothing Compares to You.
Yeah. Yes. But it's sort of like the Tammy Brown thing. Like, just you need to embrace who you are and who you're not, and not try to be, you know, and just like, honey, if you think you're fucking hot, then, you know, I mean, if somebody's not into you, they're not into you.
Yeah.
But.
And then get them drunk. No, I'm just kidding. Can I ask?
Honey, I am hot. Your mother is a sexual person.
Can I ask? This was supposed to be my year. My New Year's resolution was to do it in drag. So I guess that's going to carry over to this year. Do the men care when you have so much wig and makeup on? Do they say anything? Do they have a problem with the clownery?
That's what they want.
That's what they want.
But I'm telling her that the wig choices that she's suggesting, they're a little large. Because for logistics, you want to be able to have a free range of motion.
And what do you put on for the gig? What's the wig?
I could send you a, it's okay.
Yeah, you're sending the picture.
Send it before, please.
No, it
before.
Is this sort of like dark, wavy, parted on the side that I can, you got to be able to fucking bolt it down, bolt girls. It.
Bolt, yeah.
And bolt. Yeah, it's got some height, but not a whole lot. And
oh, so you don't wear the show wigs for the sex?
No.
No, because no, Bunny
very
does.
Very few people want full on clown.
Bunny
they
wears
want...
the bunny wigs for the sex.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm always trying to hypothesize like what hair, and she's always trying to get me to go smaller, which I understand, but
yeah. Smaller, and then you,
well, listen,
so tight that you want to have a headache.
It's
the end
a numbers game. So I know this sounds crazy, but like there have been a few guys, like this one guy was like, he specifically wanted to be with a drag queen.
Okay.
Like the colors and the giant hair and like, you know, number. Chunky platforms and, you know, so almost like
he wanted
kid.
A reveal. He wanted ISIS wings. Yeah. He wanted, yeah. He wanted you to
but
do a track.
I just feel like most guys want, like sex doll on steroids with helium, yeah. Like everything is larger than life, and it's like rock and roll, slutty whore,
the fantasy,
tons of makeup. But like, you're like, some wigs are just too big, like, they don't want a walking art piece that's gonna fall apart when they slap your face with their huge uncut top,
right. Slap the wig right off.
Neither one of you wants to have to worry about the state of the hair at any point during the evening. Right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I'm telling you, the turtleneck is a good look for you.
Have you ever, let's say it's, I don't know, Craigslist or Grindr or whatever. Have they ever been like, I'm looking for, their words, not mine, like passable CD. And are you ever like, listen, I've got a clown fantasy, you want it or not? Because I feel like they would ask for, I want real breasts, whatever. And then if you go, well, I have a little sequin dress, they're like, fine.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, I've learned from Sherry that like, if the lights are dim enough, that some guys will put up with anything. They're like, I don't need a lot of makeup, just put on some lipstick. All I'm going to be seeing is the back of your the top of your wig.
That's what they told her. Just the wig. Just put on the wig.
Just put the wig on.
But let me just say, like, first of all, there are varying degrees.
So many.
Just blowing a guy gets really boring really fast. So now my whole thing is, do you want to go downtown? Are you into drag queen dick? Like, honey, life is short. And there are plenty of guys who like want. And I'm not into fucking. We've talked about this. Yeah. I'm aside. But I guess my point is, first of all, you guys, I am fat. So I've got tits. And if they are pushed up properly and shaved and have a nice, bit of, makeup
little foundation.
On them. Yeah. So they are blown away when I send them pictures. And I'm not lying when I say this. On the dating app, I say dating app, like this is dating.
Like it's dignified.
I say, because it's hard to describe what I am. So I say,
in general,
I am on the trans spectrum, busty, fun time, I'm trying to use all the buzzwords. Yeah. And when I send a picture of the tits, they're like, I'm in.
Yeah.
But my point is, I just need to kind of take advantage of.
Of men.
Well, make a fucking purse out of a sow's ear.
I cannot. I think you're That's underselling yourself here.
A purse out of a sow's ear.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, we talk a lot about beauty on this show. It is interesting that dressing up as a totally different person, it does do something to how you feel about yourself out of drag. And I think a very improving way.
Yeah.
Well, I've had guys say, because they'll be like, oh, can I come over tonight? And I'll be like, I don't have a show tonight. And I do not, I don't want to get ready. Because if you flaked on me, I would be so bitter.
Ooh.
Because it's a 90-minute makeup job. And they're like, oh, you don't have to do the makeup. And I'm like, I need to do the makeup.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
I feel like literally I've had guys, and you guys, I mean, some of these guys, I'm seriously, when they walk in, I'm like, you've got to be kidding
me. He's here to kill me.
Yes.
I am a 57-year-old fat, like, come on. But when it's all put together, so I swoon, like, I can't even believe I'm getting this top shelf cock.
Yeah.
And, but here's my point. I've had guys walk in and they're like, oh my God, you're fucking gorgeous. Like, they are so into it. Yeah. And this is not, you know, like across the room. This is, they're 3 inches away from me. Yeah. And like,
in the direct sunlight. Yeah.
And you know what? I'm not going to, no, not in direct sunlight, honey.
But you know,
I always like the lights are so low. Yeah, I travel lighting with scarves to put over.
Yeah,
lamps.
Can you give some tips to the girls? What's the lighting tricks for the trade?
Very moody.
Oh, Sherry says like one votive candle. Like I'm over here.
Follow the sound.
Follow the sound of my
use
voice.
Use a clicker.
Yeah. Yeah. But a clicker. You know, it really. First of all, I gotta say, it's not about tricking anyone.
No.
This dating app that we're on, this hookup app that we're on, has two choices, male or female. Ugh. So obviously we list ourselves as female, but the picture and the very first thing it says in the sentence is, I am a drag queen.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to fool anybody, but it just goes to show you that there are like, never sell yourself short.
Yeah, and also don't get in the way. Don't let your own shit get in the way of other people's enjoyment of you.
Yeah, and
right. And I was going to say that. Don't, if somebody says you're sexy, don't fucking talk them out of it.
It's their opinion.
You know what?
When people show you who they are, believe them. Yeah. And also, honestly, a lot of these guys are probably so closeted, etc.
Oh, sure.
They don't understand on the spectrum between somebody who lives as a woman, a trans woman, and a part-time cross-dresser.
Yeah.
They might say looking for trans because that's the only word they heard on like Reddit. They don't really know what they're looking for. So when they see drag queen, they're like, oh, I guess I'm into that too.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? The cock wants what the cock wants. And if you see a picture and it starts, the blood starts pooling, why question it? I like that we live in a world now.
Not the blood pooling. When somebody gets a boner, please don't say, is your blood pooling?
I was just going to say, that was the least flattering, most unsexy image of a boner.
Jackie in a dark room with a votive candle, is your blood pooling?
I thought about an embolism or whatever it's called. Like
wait a minute. Wait. Here's my point. I've had friends be like, well, like I don't even use the words gay or bi or anything anymore. Yeah. It's just like if you see something and you know, like I'm like vegan bacon. They claim to be vegan. I'm dressed up like bacon. You're not really breaking the rules. Just put it in your mouth. I don't even know what I'm saying.
No, I think that makes perfect sense. Jackie, thank you for coming on. You are just so stunning and
wonderful. It's over?
It's pretty much over. I want everybody to know where they can find you.
Oh, well, I need everyone, and I am not joking. I need everyone to follow me on social media. My numbers should be better. I give such good tweets and such good Instagram. God damn it, follow me. I am Jackie Beat on every platform. The people that you love and worship would not exist without me. I invented that.
She invented it, folks. Yeah,
she is the moment.
You are so beautiful, and I just love you. You're so wonderful.
Oh, you guys, you're so sweet.
And congratulations
and I really do
on
love
your face.
Both of you. Your neck I mean, lift. You know, there's an annoyance level that sometimes takes over, but for the most part, I think
honestly,
you
for
two
us
are,
too.
Yeah, no, I was thinking the other day, is like people were talking about touring, and I was like, oh, you know, I do. I miss that thing in Amsterdam we did because that was a really good, like, kiki off, you know, on the road, like, out of drag. It's nice. It's really nice.
I have such a memory of that hotel that we stayed at. Like, was it Amsterdam?
It was outside
the
city.
Where they had, like, all the, like, you know, there are certain cities that just do things properly. Like, you come, you could show up at 2 or 3 in the morning, and in the lobby, they had, like, this place where you could still get, like, snacks and food, and you know she loves her snacks and her
food. You remember
food.
Every location by the menu.
Yeah.
I do, and I remember that we went out for Indian food a lot.
Oh,
that's her
gig.
They
had the best meal. It was in a lovely stroll. A lovely
it
stroll,
was just
Jacqueline.
So nice. And I bought a pillow. It's so funny, like a throw pillow that I still have. I actually had to put it away because it was bothering me. It is a throw pillow cover, but it's cork. Like,
oh, I remember
really
that. I remember the
thin,
cork store.
And sorry, it's so not comfortable. Yeah. And so I finally had to just like kind of stick it.
Yeah, good for you.
Over, stick it somewhere. I don't know. But yeah, I just remember. And I have to say one last thing. My favorite memory of Amsterdam is, and this will tell you so much about me and so much about Bunny. Lady Bunny said, "Jackie, I'm begging you, please smoke hash with me. You need to let go. You need to, you deserve to enjoy yourself. You need to unplug. Why won't you just do this?" And I was like, and for a second I thought, I should. I'm in Amsterdam with Lady Bunny. Let's smoke some fucking hash. But then I thought to myself, no, I've been talked into things like this before. This is not me. No. Like, I will not have a good time. I'm going to get paranoid. I mean, I have no idea, but like, there's a reason I don't do drugs. And it's like, let's go eat some Indian food.
Plus, when you get talked into a first-time drug experience by somebody who's experienced, they don't know how to calibrate.
You don't want to get talked into a drug experience
by
anybody.
So when Bunny says, this is a little bit of hash, you'll be fine. It could be enough to put you on Saturn.
Yeah, like, it's like I did with Violet.
Right,
yeah.
But doesn't it sound like when you hear the sentence, I did hash with Lady Bunny in Amsterdam. I want to be able to tell that story. And now my story is how she begged me to do it and I was too much of a pussy.
I can't. I have to go to the cork store and get a pillowcase.
Right?
Wait, I never got to answer the question of what do I admire the most about you? Just so quickly, I'm going to do that.
Oh my God, we almost tuned out before you got the chance.
Oh no, I did. I tuned out.
So I'll say very quickly, I think one of my favorite things about you is that when I called you earlier to see if you were on scheduled to record, you said, I'm feeling really weird because I don't know. I'm thinking about Anne Frank.
It's true.
And it wasn't a joke and it was just true. And I was like,
no, you guys, it's not a joke. And I've said this before, but specifically because I'm in a mood, I've been in a mood for the last couple of days, like really like, oh, it's the new year, but you know, what does it mean? It means nothing. I know there's a lot of good stuff on the horizon and I know that things will eventually get better, but it's going to be a long time before I can fucking go perform somewhere and then after the show have some hot guy come to my fucking hotel room. Okay, there, I said it. So all I could think of, I was lying in bed and my one dog, Darlin', is underneath the covers and I was drinking one of my Zevia sodas, which is soda
so delicious,
sweetened with stevia.
I love those. Too.
I love them too. And I put my hand under the covers and I was petting my dog. And I was thinking to myself, oh my God, Anne Frank would have loved to like have this experience, to like have a pet, something to love, like something to touch. I took a sip of my soda and I was like, this would be such a treat for Anne Frank. And I know it sounds crazy, but I really mean it. Like, you guys, they were like, how many people shitting in a toilet? And all they had was like books and her diary. And like, they couldn't do anything or make noise or do fucking anything. So boo hoo, get over yourselves. You can go for a drive. You can go for a walk. You can watch any fucking movie, hear any fucking song, watch
That's
drag
really
shows.
True, Jackie. Yeah.
Like, watch drag shows from the safety of your fucking home. Like, we are in paradise. And I know it's,
You're right. But no, I want to go to Puerto Vallarta.
Well, fuck those queens. Yeah.
Can you believe? I mean, I can believe.
Yeah, absolutely, I can believe.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know what? Coco and I were texting about this, and I just typed, I'm so glad I did all those fucking AIDS benefits back in the day so they could pull shit like this. And she was like, exactly. I'm furious.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like,
I feel
they should. I mean, we're at the point where they need to close the doors of the United States because we can't be trusted to interact with the rest of the world because we don't act right.
Wild and out always.
Do you that America? We can't be trusted.
Can't be trusted.
That's our new like slogan.
Yeah.
Well, I love you, Jackie. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah,
it's such a privilege.
Thank you for doing this.
You guys are adorable. Now, you'll send me a link so I can share it and like my nine fans.
I'll send
it
to your people.
Listen, I don't have people.
I don't have loved ones.
Do you think I was on Drag Race?
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Awesome. Thank you, Jackie.
People are going to be really excited to find out about this up and coming ingenue talent.
I just want to say one last thing.
Yeah.
The fact that I kept such energy and such a good attitude staring at a big, giant fucking print of Rainbow Bright meets meets Ronald McDonald up on that fucking wall.
It takes one to know one, bitch. Yeah.
I know. All right, you guys, I love you.
I love you too,
Have a
Jackie.
Lovely night, Jackie.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. That's Alaska.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.